Welcome to our virtual book club, Bookish with 2Ks.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Kendra.
More than just a virtual book club, Bookish is a place where books are better than movies, reading under the covers with a flashlight is a shared childhood memory, and FYPs are full of book wrecks.
Every month, we devote one episode to a specific book selected by our book club, and one mini-sode made up of topical Bookish conversations.
Whether it's listening to our podcast or chatting with us on our community pages, Bookish is a home where book lovers can connect, fangirl, and discuss their mutual obsessions.
So kick up your feet, grab a good book, and join the club.
Hello.
Hi.
I am both so excited to talk about all of the things, but also just talk to you in general today.
I know. I feel like we've both had a really busy week, and so I haven't talked to you as much as I normally would in a week. And I'm like, yay, we're recording another podcast so we can chat.
I know. It's actually late. We never record late, and it's late.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like 9 o'clock at night. I finished this book last night, so it's fresh in my brain, and I'm really eager to talk about it. So I'm excited that we're doing this.
I know. Me too. I'm super excited. Randomly, this time I was ahead of schedule, so I finished it early this week, not at the last minute, but I have all my notes ready. But what's special about this one, this is our mini-sode. Normally, we don't talk about our mini-sode.
I know. Well, the other thing that you said, you're ahead of schedule, it's pretty quick. I could have read it ahead of schedule, and then I got like halfway through it, and I was like, I want to wait so that I don't forget anything, because I am reading another book right now. I started The Maidens, by the way. I know, because of you, and my sister started reading it too. I was reading another book and I was like, I don't want to forget about this one because I finished it 3 days ago or whatever. And so I saved it and I crammed it last night. But yes, I'm very excited. If you're listening to this podcast, we're doing this episode for you because you guys loved our It Ends With Us episode, or maybe you didn't love it, but a lot of you listened to it. So that warranted us reading It Starts With Us. So that's what this episode is about. If you haven't read It Ends With Us or It Starts With Us, probably don't listen to this episode.
Yeah. Actually, did you read Colleen's note at the beginning, just like as a precursor?
Oh, yeah.
Like, hey, you might want to go back and read the first one.
She's like, don't proceed if you haven't, read the first one, because it picks up immediately where it left off. Before we jump into the book, there is also like other It Ends With Us news that I feel like we need to.
Oh my gosh.
Note.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. Let's see. What's first? Let's talk about the coloring book first.
Yeah. So that was a fun little moment. Atria Books, which I think is her publisher, or maybe it's not her publisher, but they were going to publish the coloring book, announced that they were doing an It Ends With Us coloring book. And that same day, within those like 24 hours, the internet had a fit because do you feel about an It Ends With Us coloring book, Kendra?
So much justified outrage.
Yeah. It Ends With Us is not a happy book. It's not a romantic book. It's not a book that I would want to color.
No.
So I really don't know what would have been in that coloring book.
And I also think that, especially during like pandemic, things like adult coloring books became a thing where it's like, just kind of like, you know, use an artistic like flow, like to decrease stress, like whatever, all of the things, the creative outlet. That's what I was trying to say. But so I imagine it's like trying to touch more in like that direction. But even so, when you use something like a coloring book, it just like, it always is going to have that connotation towards kids. And this is so just not a kid book.
No. And there's not really that many happy moments.
No.
Either. So like, are you doing sad moments? Anyway, the internet had a cow, rightfully so, and they canceled it. They took it down. They announced that they were not going forward with publishing it, which I think was the right answer.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, rarely does cancel culture actually get a justified win. So we'll take it.
Right. The other bit of news that came out yesterday, or like several days ago when you're listening to this podcast, is the movie cast for the It Ends With Us movie, which I think I knew that was happening, but I hadn't really processed that in my brain. What do we think about the cast, Kendra?
Well, I love Blake Lively. I don't know if I love her for this role, but in general, I'm obsessed with her. So I hope it's good because I love her.
I do love her, and almost like, I'm sure, I don't know. I feel like everyone would have seen this movie regardless of who was in it because of its popularity. So like, did they need a Blake Lively? Probably not. And it almost makes me like, why have we done to this movie? Because I really like you. Also, I've heard some opinions that they think that she's too old for this role. What do you think?
I hadn't thought of considered that. She's just absolutely stunning and gorgeous and all of the things. So I just, like, her smile's insane. Like, anyway, but how, I don't remember how old Lily's supposed to be.
I thought she was like mid to late 20s. At least that's how she feels in my brain.
Yeah. I didn't really consider that.
Mid-30s. So, and I think Justin is mid-30s as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't really thought that far. Yeah, let's talk about Ryle's, the actor playing Ryle.
Yeah, so I'm not super familiar with him. I know you told me he's in Jane the Virgin, which I haven't seen, but he looks the part. I don't know. I didn't really picture Ryle in my brain, but he looks like kind of a charming
species. Yeah. I recognized him from Jane the Virgin, like you mentioned, but he also actually has experience directing. Like, if you look at what he's directed, when I first read all the things, I just saw him playing Ryle. I didn't realize he was actually directing.
Yeah, I have weird feelings about that. I just, like, something about that doesn't sit right with me, because Ryle is the villain of this franchise. So
I also have feelings about this, being we're really gonna let a man tell this story about women going through abuse. Like, we really had to let him do that.
If anyone should direct this movie, I think it should be a woman. I don't think that we need a man to tell the story. And I also am, like, really surprised that Colleen Hoover is, like, cool with it too.
And we've actually already shared how we feel about, like, this story. And you guys have already heard our opinions. But even so, you could tell how vulnerable Colleen was in her, like, at the end, like, because she talked about, like, her relationship with all those things. So, like, you could tell it meant something to her and what she experienced and walked through. And even when you read, like, all of the reviews, it has impacted people that have walked through these pieces. So to let someone, I don't know, I would love for Justin to either be vulnerable with us and tell us why he's qualified to speak into this, or at least give some kind of, like, this is how I'm going to help let women speak into this conversation or something.
I agree. Either he has a past that we're going to learn about or we don't know about, or he's going to make room for women to be a part of the storytelling, because I think someone similar to Colleen Hoover's background should be directing this story. But
yeah. But the whole purpose of this episode was saying that we can't judge a book by its cover, literally, without reading it. So maybe we're judging Justin without reading or the cover. Same thing applies. Maybe there's more going on there than we know.
Yeah.
But without additional information, it felt like a weird choice.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see.
We'll see. Should we talk about it?
Let's jump in. I'll give a quick little summary in case you just read the first one and haven't read this one or whatever.
Spoiler
warning ahead for both books.
Yep.
Okay, so the summary is, courtesy of Goodreads, Lily and her ex-husband Ryle have just settled into a civil co-parenting rhythm when she suddenly bumps into her first love, Atlas, again. After nearly 2 years separated, she's elated that for once time is on their side, and she immediately says yes when Atlas asks her on a date. But her excitement is quickly hampered by the knowledge that though they're no longer married, Ryle is still very much a part of her life, and Atlas Corrigan is the one man he will hate being in his ex-wife and daughter's life. Switching between the perspectives of Lily and Atlas, It Starts With Us picks up right where the epilogue for the It Ends With Us book left off, revealing more about Atlas's past and following Lily as she embraces a second chance at true love while navigating a jealous ex-husband. So that is where we're at. That's where we're starting this story.
I feel like a great spot to start is initial thoughts. I thought this was 1 year, not two. And you said two, and I picked up the book that's sitting next to me and I read the back, like, it says two. I really thought it was
like one and a half.
Yeah. Because you know how they go through and celebrate the birthday? I thought she was turning one, ever.
Okay. I mean, it doesn't really change that much, but I definitely was on the same page with you. I thought it was 1 year.
Yeah. Anyway, initial thoughts, better than I thought, which is not saying much.
I was like, oh, okay, Kendra. Okay. I have only four things that I gave a thumbs up to in this book. I'm going to really try hard not to be just like absolutely crapping this entire episode. But my initial thoughts, this book was unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. I think she even mentioned when she was explaining why she wrote it, she said that she never had any intention of finishing it, but she wrote it for the people that changed her life, like the TikTok community, like the BookTok community, in response to them. And for me, it begs the question, is this really for them or is this a money grab? Because like as an artist, you know that it didn't need another one. So it feels like to be true to the story and like the art, shouldn't you have just not?
Yeah. It also reads like a money grab. And honestly, on one hand, I'm like, go for
it. Respect.
Get that bag. But on the other hand, we didn't need it. The story didn't need it. I liked, honestly, the open-endingness of it ends with us, no pun intended. Just kind of like you interpret that as you will. Like, I really didn't need this. Mm-hmm. But here we are.
Ironically, doing the exact same thing Colleen did, because we'd love for you guys to listen to this one too.
Are we doing this minisode because we want you to listen to it? Yes, we are. So I'm just going to be transparent there. Although, like, to be fair, I do feel better having a strong opinion about this book now that I've read it. Like, now I'm like solidified in my feelings.
Oh, like, I think it's very clear that you and I were going to continue to talk crap about this book, but now we are allowed to continue to talk crap about this
book. I have the validity to join the conversation.
Yeah.
I wrote my thoughts down as I was reading. One of the very first moments, I audibly sighed and rolled my eyes when she wrote her letter to Ellen.
Yep.
As an adult. It was childish. I was like, you're joking.
I think that, like, I get the tie back. Like, I get it. But you could have had that same exact tie back, but her doing it in a mature way, just writing her thoughts down in a similar context.
Journal. Yeah.
Speaking of just like writing things down, I want credit for this. I'd like the record to show that as soon as Damage showed up at the restaurants, the first sign, the first sentence, I said, that's his brother. I had no idea how right I would be, but something in my brain says he has a secret brother destroying his restaurant. And then it happened.
I will give you points for that, because I was like, I knew that it had to be a new character that we introduced, because the only plausible person we would think of is Ryle. And that didn't really make sense.
Yeah.
So I was a year to 2 years after, like, why would he suddenly start doing that? How do you feel about the whole little brother storyline situation?
Okay. Actually, this was my favorite part of the book.
Hmm.
I don't want to say that it was the only not predictable thing, because I 100% predicted it happening. But for me, getting through the sludge that was everything else, I was in.
True. Actually, I did look forward to these.
I looked forward to what was Josh going to do with his dad? What was he going to choose? How was he going to develop? Was he going to develop and turn into like a mean kid that was actually difficult? Or was he going to turn around? Like, that was one thing of the storyline where I'm like, I was every single time it got. So pretty much the whole time I was frustrated. I'm like, I don't want to be reading this. Every time there was a question mark about Josh, be like, okay, what's going to happen? And that's what got me through. So really, that was my favorite part. That was his storyline.
I would agree with you. I think I would venture to say that Josh was the most interesting character in this book, and he's the brand new character. I do think it came out of left field. And honestly, I think it's because she couldn't have dragged on Atlas and Lily any longer, and she needed more book.
No, 100%. And you guys, like, my favorite part of the book was something completely unrelated to everything else going on.
That's not a good sign. I also wrote that it feels like it might be an excuse to write a future book, like
I hope not.
But that would be absolutely a money grab, because there doesn't seem to be any point for that. But I did. Yeah, he was the most interesting character, which is saying something.
Yeah.
I have a lot of other thoughts. Let's see. Once again, Lily needs more friends.
Oh, okay. Where is this through here? Because I made that note too. When we did It Ends With Us, we were I think recording. And I said, who the crap is Lucy? Like, who is this? I was like mentioned once. And then we went through this whole like, oh yeah, she was the roommate that got like, and we totally forgot about her. And this book opens with Lucy. I'm like, who the crap?
And then she has a wedding. I'm like, I still partly through the book, I'm like, who is this?
I'm like, poor Lucy. Like every time I'm like, who is this person?
I know. She has absolutely no characteristics except for that she works at the flower shop and lived with Lily at one point. Oh. And we forget about her every time. But yeah, my point is she needs more friends. Absolutely needs more of a support system than her ex-husband's sister and her mm-hmm. husband. Like, how about we just befriend anybody who's outside of your family? That's not Atlas.
You don't feel that's like a bit harsh?
No, I don't. Well, also, like, she's a mom now, and we don't really learn that much about what her actual routine is like. I don't know if she takes her to daycare or whatnot, but like, I'm under the impression that it's easier to make friends when you have a kid because like you could go to the things together and you have like, I don't know, it seems easier to bond. So I'm like, it seems like there would be more ways for her to find friends now that she has a kid, but we didn't get any of that.
No. Do you feel like she had time to make more friends? She seemed a little busy. Also, I'm a little sensitive to people. I just came out of a very busy season of my life. But don't you feel like she was like a bit busy?
I mean, so she worked. This is the other thing that I had questions about is like, what does she do other than like work at the flower shop and like go on a couple dates? If she doesn't have any like hobbies or interests or like, what else does she do with her life?
I don't know. I've not owned a business before, but I sure hope she's doing stuff other than just selling flowers. Imagine there's like bookkeeping and ordering.
I'm sure it keeps her well occupied, like during her workday. But other than, and then I guess like she has a kid at home. I don't know. I don't remember the point of me saying this.
But what kind of story do that is if we don't know what she does all day?
That's my, okay. That's the other thing is like, so Ryle, I'm assuming, I also want to know how she pays for her apartment. I know Ryle pays for her apartment.
Yes. Let's talk about that because there's that throwaway line where I go, I don't like that he's paying for that at all. But I'm wondering if it meant like in child support, he's paying.
I think that's what it meant. But I'm like, I don't think that she would be able to survive without his salary because unless her flower business is like really, really lucrative, which it seems to be doing well enough, like, it is just a little small business. That's my impression. So, like...
And we do know that it's successful because it, like, in the first book, it made its way to the top businesses. And that's something that, you know, Atlas and her bonded on, like, the rankings and reviews and stuff like that of, like, small businesses in Boston. But I agree. And on that same, like, vein... As someone that's like claims to be an independent person, I didn't love that the line was thrown out that he quote unquote paid for our apartment. And then she ended up moving out of the apartment he was paying for into a home owned by someone else. I was like, come on, you can, come on.
But maybe that's a
character. But that was like, yeah. I don't know. I thought it was a swing and a miss.
Yeah.
So one of the things we always talk about, which I just thought we'd like, touch on, and I think it'll be quick. Would you be friends with Lily in college?
No.
Yeah. We talked about it last time, and that was the issues of the friendships. Like, why doesn't she have friends? That would be odd, but certainly not this one. She doesn't have time for friends.
No. And also, not to like, a lot of my friends have babies and are moms, so like, that's not the point. But like, her and I would be in different life stages. I don't know. We're talking about would you be friends in college, but like let's talk about her now. Probably not because her life is her business and her child, and that doesn't have room for me. So,
yeah, no, especially with like new friends, like not before. So, let's try to keep things a little upbeat here. So, what are some of your favorite moments in the book?
I'll give you my two moments where I put a thumbs up in my notes.
Okay.
Marshall having the little conversation with her in the hallway, reassuring her that Ryle sucks and like she made the right decision. I thought that was a nice little moment.
I also like the depth that Colleen added to Alyssa's character by saying that she cheated on Marshall. I don't like that she cheated on Marshall, obviously, but it added depth to their relationship. And you and I complained that Alyssa didn't have enough depth last time.
Agreed. Yeah. So there was a little bit of character development for Alyssa and Marshall. Actually, I think there's more character development for Alyssa and Marshall than there was for Lily and Alice. Yeah. Like, at least learning about their lives.
Yep.
What was one of your thumbs up moments?
So I liked all of Josh and Theo sass moments.
Yes.
Like when Josh was complaining about Lily's pancakes, and then he's like, you're not going to get any of my food if you keep complaining. He's like, thanks, Lily. These are the best pancakes ever.
Yes. Like, just the 12-year-old sass. It was great.
I thought he was written really, even Theo, not all of Theo's sass, but the amount of, like, I didn't, like, some of the rhymes were pretty cheesy, but just, like, he was getting in under his skin. I think that was funny, and I think that was well-written, and I thought all of those couplets were well-sprinkled.
Yeah, that was cute. Yeah, I think those two were probably the funnest part of this book. Another thumbs-up moment for me was Lily standing up for herself in the conversation, like, the eventual, like, intervention conversation. And there was a moment where she was, like, drawing the line, and I was like, good job.
And then speaking of standing up for, my other favorite moment was Atlas fighting for Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah. And so that's like, I think Atlas did have some character development with him as a brother, not as a love interest, but yes, as a brother.
I agree. And I liked seeing that side of Atlas. I think that part was interesting. Similar to It Ends With Us and just like Colleen Hoover books in general, they are emotionally heavy. And so, like, do I want to read about this kind of a situation all the time? No, but like, it worked out. Okay. There was one like other moment that I enjoyed, and not enjoyed is not the right word, but she had a quote early in the book that said, anyone who's left a manipulative, abusive spouse and has somehow stayed that course deserves a medal. And I was like, thumbs up. Love that.
There were a few of my least favorite moments.
Several. hold on. Before we do that, I do have one other points for Colleen.
Like, good for you.
I know. I'm really trying here. I do think that she does, and she did this in the first book. I do think she does a good job at portraying that, like, leaving an abusive relationship is not just 100% cold turkey, like happy ever after.
Yeah.
It's complicated. It's hard.
The explanation and some of the language she used around when you leave that type of relationship, you're still signing up for sometimes the same bad moments, but you get none of the good ones.
Yeah.
Or you got the good ones and the bad ones, and now sometimes you just get the bad ones. I think that was that hit heavy.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So I think that she does well with sending that message home, but that's my points to her colleague.
Yep. At the top of my least, because it was the one that stood out the most to me, I did not appreciate in the making out scene when the breast milk thing happened.
Ooh, gross. Like, I get that she wanted to portray like this realistic thing of like being a single mom, whatever, but I'm like, absolutely disgusting. No, thank you. I also did not understand what was happening because I haven't had breast milk. So I was like, what is going on?
I just didn't need that in my life.
Yeah. It was gross. I also, speaking of another thing that happened when they were like getting together for the first time as adults, they kept like referencing their teenage years, like their past. And I was like, you're really taken me out of this present day situation. It's feeling really weird to me all over again.
Like
we talked about in the first book, when they did it the first time, he was 19 and she was 16. And we have feelings about that. That is illegal.
It's the law is pretty straightforward. I don't think it's overly complicated here. It also made a reappearance on my list. It's not needed. And I'm not going to, because we already talked about it. I think it's so frustrating because it was not necessary. That's the most frustrating part, is that it didn't have to be this way, except they chose it. So Yeah.
And then the worst part is that she tried to make Atlas defend it.
Did that?
She said, Mike, the relationship you and I had was something criminal. I'm like, yes, it was. We're not talking about, like, when it comes to teenage relationships and the age difference, like, we're not talking about, like, oh, you guys don't have a real relationship. We're talking about it's written in the law.
Yeah. And that was, so it's frustrating to me because 16-year-olds are reading this, and Colleen Hoover wrote in her, like, tons of teenagers have read this,
yeah,
and they were just told that he had nothing to be ashamed of. And it's like, do you know the impact you're making on these kids' potential lives? Like, he 100% has all of the responsibility on him on that,
mm-hmm,
completely, because he's an adult and she's a child. Yeah. And that's extremely frustrating. And oh my gosh, I just got so heated. I just lost my train of thought. It's all just super frustrating and not needed and written off like it's okay. Yeah. And I'm mad, I guess, at the characters, but I was also disappointed in Colleen Hoover as an author who brought it up, like, could have corrected it and didn't.
Yeah. No, instead, yeah, she had him try to defend it, and that was a worse choice.
Like, double down. Yeah. Like, yeah. I also was not a fan of Ryle pouting. Like, literally, his whole person, which I get, like, that's the point of the book. Well, it's not surprising, but literally, it's just, like, him just sitting in a corner, like, I'm mad. And it's just, like, that's so not fun to read. I guess, like, not the first one was, like, quote-unquote fun to read. But it's, like, it's uninteresting. It's boring. And I don't need to be, like, entertained by violence. I'm just saying, develop him as a character. It just felt lazy a little bit. That's what it felt lazy.
There was a lot of, I wrote that word several times. There's a lot of this book that feels lazy. Even reading the back of the book, it's like, they're going to now navigate this co-parenting relationship when he, like, is abusive. I'm like, I know exactly everything I need to know about this situation. He could have been, like, no part of this book, personally. And I also, like, I knew what was going to happen every time they had a conversation or an interaction, especially, like, of course he's going to have a fight with Atlas. Like, of course he's going to be mad. And on one hand, I'm like, stop, like, grow up. Like, you have your own life. Like, yes, he's still a father of a child, so, like, he is in your life, but, like, you have your own life, and, like, who cares, is my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of things that I think are lazy, there are chunks of this book that are just, it ends with us. Like, the book regurgitated.
Oh, like copy and pasting the letters?
Yeah. Like, we read it. We were there. Also, speaking of the letters, I think that when majority of your book and also majority of your interactions between your two characters is journal entries, lazy.
The last thing on my least favorite list was the long letters. The length was so annoying. So annoying.
I'm going to tell, I almost feel bad for doing this, but not at all. I skipped the vows at the end of this book.
It was one of my,
and I realized they were like 3 pages and I was like, absolutely not. I don't care enough.
You missed out on some really frustrating stuff.
No.
I'm disappointed now that you didn't read any of them.
No, I think I like skimmed. I'll pull it up.
It's not even a question. It was like I wrote it down because I wanted to talk about it. But I said that the wedding vows were so lame. It's not a question. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
He said something like 50% of marriages failing would be romance. I'm like, he's like essentially like 1 and 2. You already had your 1. So now we're going to be okay. Like, talking about how like 50% of marriages fail is never going to be romantic and should not have been brought up in your wedding vow.
No, especially when like this relationship and her past relationships have already so complicated. Like, no.
I read the whole thing because that was my homework. And I was like, I'm going
to. I did. There's some, I tried, but I kept picking out lines and I was like, good Lord. Like, 2 times in life, how can one man be so lucky? That's when I was like, I'm not going to resource. I also, the very last line of this book, I audibly went, bleh.
Wait, don't tell me. Hold on.
Bleh. Like, it was, like, the tiniest bit funny because Theo said it first. But I was like, no, gross, stupid.
for those of you that can't remember, it's P.S. It was my wish for you to be my fish.
I'm sorry. Just the Finding Nemo elements of this book are so childish.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, because there's tons of things that you and I can spiral on. But if you could only pick one thing, what would be the thing you'd change about this book? You think about it. I have mine prepped and ready.
Okay. Yeah, you give me yours first.
And it's actually something that I don't know if we talked about last time, but for me, this was a very similar to Love Light in that Atlas was too perfect. Like, just give me some flaws. Like, he was so annoyingly perfect. And then it's like, there are aspects of his character you're not showing us. So just let us see something.
It made him really boring because there were no interesting characteristics. Like, he just made the right decision all the time and was like the perfect boyfriend.
It wasn't even like in a romantic way. Like, it was just like a completely plain.
Yeah. Like, Luca in Love Light Farms was like the puppy dog, like annoying, like lovey boyfriend. And this was like,
not even that.
Just boring. Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be like, give him a flaw.
Yeah, I agree. I think if I was to change one thing, it would be the amount of letters that are in this book.
Yeah. Yeah.
Majority of their interactions involved like reading their past journals or writing letters to each other and not having any actual conversation. And that felt like really lame character development. Like, you wrote your vow, like, you don't say them. Like, he doesn't say them. You know, he just writes them. I don't know. It was too much at that point. I was like, you guys need to talk to each other.
Yep. Okay. So I forgot, you actually brought up the Finding Nemo thing not too long ago. I forgot that Emerson's middle name was Dory and there was that big fight about it. So I forgot about that. But first of all, that's just weird. I don't know if we talked about that last time. Dory as a middle name is weird. And also, I think Ellen would have been better and done the justice of it all much better. Now, Emerson, Ellen doesn't sound as cute, but even so, that was kind of frustrating. Like, Dory does not make sense and Ellen does.
Yeah, I agree. Ellen was much more of like a important figure in her life. And I feel like, honestly, I don't believe Lily when she's like, I liked Finding Nemo long before I wrote those letters. I'm like, not enough to name your child after it. Like, and also, she's like, I admired Dory's strength. I'm like, maybe I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but like, I don't really think of Dory as like a pillar of strength.
And also, like, you know, that's so true. That's just true. But naming your kid after a cartoon fish, that's like,
we're trying really hard.
It's just the logic for me is not there. And if they're really, like I said, if the sentimental value really is there, the person that voiced that fish is Ellen. She also, you watch the Ellen show. There's just more realistic crossover with the name Ellen than Dory.
I agree. I think it's also like 10 o'clock at night, so we're really laughing about this now. I can just imagine. And I think, I don't remember too many of the details from It Ends With Us. So maybe they did have this part of the argument where they argued over the middle name. But I just imagine him being like, it's over a fish. Like, it's a fish. Okay.
Wait, before we move on, you mentioned this one little thing about maybe them fighting or him like not understanding. I also thought it was interesting because I forgot that Emerson was the brother that Ryle shot and killed, like out of respect for that. But also, what a loaded name for a child. And maybe loaded was not the right word there in that context. But I do think that on all spectrums of Ryle choosing his brother's name and then Lily picking Dor, like, what a, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to. I'm
familiar with that one. Also, I don't remember this from the first book. Is Alyssa naming her child Riley after Ryle, right?
Yeah. The abuser? Yeah.
Feel weird about that. Like, I know it's her brother, but like, they made it, Alyssa and Marshall made it pretty clear, like, we have to love him because he's our brother, but like, we don't agree with what he did. So I'm like, you knew that was happening when you named your child, right? I might have to check back.
I'd have to go, the timeline's close, I think. Yeah. Oh, I have a fun question. So they had their first date where he was going to take her to like this amazing restaurant and she slept through it. So what kind of restaurant, if you were going on a first date with like a killer chef, where would you want them to take you?
Like, I would prefer them to cook me a meal, because then I could like have something that I know I'm going to really enjoy, but it's going to be like extra really good because they made it. Whereas like, I am not a fancy food person, so I wouldn't want to go to this like fancy, really experimental kind of place. I would just want to go where it's like comfort food, like maybe like a really good Italian place, you know?
Yeah, sure. I'm definitely like a bistro kind of girl. That would be fun.
What is a bistro?
Like,
I mean, I went to a bistro tonight for dinner.
It's a vibe. It's a vibe, Caitlin. A bistro is a vibe. I don't know. Like, it's a place that has like truffle fries. Like, you know, they're not just fries. They're truffle fries. They're like truffle garlic parmesan fries. They're like, there's probably like a lobster bisque available. There's probably like good seafood, but also maybe like a steak.
I'm reading the menu off the place I went to dinner tonight. It was like seafood paella and crab was their special. And then like steak and
a chicken. So you were at a bistro.
And literally truffle fries. I'm like, were you there? Because she was like, we have our crab special and it comes with truffle fries. And it's literally called something bistro. I forget what it was called.
So it turns out I know exactly what a bistro is.
Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. I don't know. I don't really see how that's any different from another restaurant, but sure. Maybe I don't go to enough restaurants. Anyway, so you want to go to a bistro.
I'd like to be taken to a bistro. Yeah.
I have a book. I have a question, and it's kind of like three questions in one.
Okay.
My first question is, did your opinion of Atlas change in this book? The second question would be, did your opinion of Lily change in this book? Did your opinion of Raoul? Did your opinion of any of the characters change in this book?
I don't think so. So certainly not Raoul, certainly not Lily. And like I said, Atlas's development was a lot with Josh. So I don't know if it improved. Like, my opinion of him didn't really change.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it really changed. He was just as, like, quiet and reserved and boring as the first book. Lily was the same, Raoul was the same. Oh, the other thing? You're telling me you've been divorced for 2 years and he hasn't been to anger management? Like, yeah. That's a new thing you're choosing to do?
But for me, that was on brand with her. I think it's the wrong choice. And I think that's probably what your point was.
Yes. Does it make sense for Lily? Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. For example, at least for me, if they would have said that, hey, he's been going to anger management, I'm like, whoa, 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 hold up. Like, I agree with you, inexcusable. However, I think from like a story perspective, I appreciated the journey.
Okay. That makes sense. It made sense for their characters. Yes. The other thing that I wrote was, as much as I love Theo, let's stop pretending that this 12-year-old boy is your therapist.
Yep. I don't think that's healthy.
No. Like, you can talk to him as a, you know, whatever, but like, you should also have a real therapist. Everyone in this book should have a therapist.
Yeah. There's just nothing left to say about that. You're 100% correct.
Yep.
Yep. So there's something that I don't really remember if they like explained it more in the first book versus the second, but in this book, Atlas handles really difficult conversations, not necessarily about Lily and Raoul, but I'm saying specifically when it comes to Josh and his mom, with a lot of maturity and wisdom and patience and like grace. And I just didn't feel like that was a fair expectation of his character when like the childhood that he received, like how did he get to be that? Because like that takes like either years of therapy or like healing or restoration. Like, you don't just grow up in an environment like that and all of a sudden just be able to handle those really complicated feelings and situations as like gracefully as he did. So it felt super out of character, like jarring in this book, out of character, because they keep referencing his childhood. And I'm just like, how did you get? And I personally don't believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, what changed? He went to military school. You're going to tell me the military school made him more patient. Like, yeah. I don't see it. So that was like, I just, for me, felt jarring to his character, but I couldn't remember if they explained like if something happened in the first book of how he got that way.
I don't think so. I agree. They were like navigating, you know, they pull up to his dad's house, whatever. And he's like, okay, I have the choice to be like the right you know, have the right response here. And I'm like, you're telling me that this is the first time you're pulling up to your stepfather's house in years and you're calm enough to like sit down and have the serious conversation with your little brother? Like, I don't know. Yeah, it was too perfect. Like he had too much of the right response.
That's why I felt like maybe they said that he had this big revel, like, you know what I'm saying? Like they explained it earlier, but I didn't get it. Oh, I have one last one. Unless you have one.
I do have one. So the thing, like we've talked about how Lily and Atlas is too perfect, which makes him boring. Lily has no interesting characteristics, so she's also boring. The other thing, I was like wanting to get to know them together. We don't, because we spend half the time talking about their past and half the time reading about their past and half the time writing letters to each other. Because of that, there's like no banter. There's no conversation. I wasn't invested in them as a couple. Even them like finally getting together, I'm like, okay. I'm not like, yay, because like I just don't care about them individually.
I agree with you 100%. And like this romance is voted by everyone like, oh, the best couple of 2020. You know, when the books, like they how you vote, like they're your favorite couples or whatever they call them and stuff like that. I was like, how?
They're not interesting.
No.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it at all.
Did you feel like any plot of this book was ruined when they agreed to get married like one third of the way through?
Yeah.
Like, I know plot is a generous term for what happened, but like they just got together and he's like, when can you move in? And she told him the date and he's like, when can I propose? And she's like, okay, at this time. And I'm like, so what am I doing here?
Yeah. Oh, also they did skip ahead and there was no indication of it. Normally at the top of pages, it'll say like 2 years later. They just like jumped ahead and they like made you guess by saying like Josh is 13 and I'm like or whatever, and I'm like, okay, I guess we were moving along in the timeline even though you didn't tell us that.
Yeah,
there's one other thing that she did tell us that I thought was annoying. When an author over explains something to a reader, like the reader is dumb, that's like one of my biggest pet peeves. There was a page where Lily says like, I realized the significance of this moment. It was, you know, the first time I was in my apartment and I wasn't afraid to be with the guy, whatever. I'm like, you could have said that and you didn't need to say, I realize the significance of this moment, because we got it. We can come to conclusions. We can recognize relevant moments. It feels like so annoying when they're like, hello, this is an important moment. You should make sure you're catching it.
So for me, that just indicates, again, the money grab and Colleen Hoover's acknowledgement that she knows very young children are reading this book, and yet she continues to push ideas that are illegal, even though she knows who her audience is.
Yeah, I feel really uncomfortable that anyone under the age of 18 is reading this book. I think her reading level is really low, which concerns me given the content of her books. I also think that that doesn't bother everyone. I think people who read Colleen Hoover books don't read very much. And so the reading level doesn't bother them.
You think that?
I think so. I say that because the writing is not fantastic. And there are so many other romances and other great stories that, like, if this is your favorite book, if it ends with us as your favorite book, like, it makes me think you haven't read that many books, personally.
Mm. I don't know. I think I've just talked to so many people who, you and I have talked about this. We had a love of reading prior to college, and then we got burnt out. And so we stopped reading, and not as much now. I think you and I are pretty much in the swing of it again. But like, yeah, there was a time where we had to like readjust and recalibrate to get back into reading. I went back to the books. I like started with The Hunger Games again. Yeah. I was doing things that felt like comfort and felt like easy entry points. So I don't know, for me, if it's that they don't read very much, but just they're maybe looking for like another on-ramp to come back to reading. I don't know.
I hear that people read a lot, like that Colleen Hoover is kind of this like gateway into their love of reading again. And for that, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to read. The thing about Colleen Hoover books is they kind of exist with the exception of this one, because this one, we were begrudgingly reading it and then it didn't hold my attention. But her other books that I have read, they do keep your attention. Yeah. They are interesting enough to read. So like, I'll give them that. If a book holds my attention, that's great, even if I didn't like the story. So like, yes, any gateway to get back into love of reading, love that for you.
Yeah.
But like, there are so many other books. Please read more.
What's actually super exciting, like anyone just finding their love for reading again or for the first time, Caitlin and I try to post other books that we're not reading just within like our own, like the Bookish with 2Ks. So if you go onto our pages, you'll see regular highlights of things that are Caitlin and I are reading outside of Bookish with 2Ks, giving you our feedbacks. We have on Goodreads, we try to keep up with that, like with books and our reviews there.
I have a whole highlight of what I read in 2022 on my personal Instagram story, because I read a lot. We didn't start this till September of 2022. So I have a lot that I read. And it's actually hard for me not to share my opinions before we record this, because I'm like, people see me reading it on my story and they're like, what do you think? And I'm like, I can't tell you yet.
Yeah. And that was the thing. So it's like, what's hard with the podcast and it's set up this way is that we're reading the book for the first time with you. So we don't know if we recommend it or not yet. So we don't know. So if you're looking for, I don't know, good recommendations, look around. There are alternatives to Colleen Hoover. But if this is your cup of tea, then double down. There's lots of options for you out there.
We have a lot of options, and like no harm in having a comfort author or a comfort book. For me, her books are emotionally draining most of the time, and so I'm not eager to pick them up. The first one I read was Reminders of Him, and I remember finishing that and being like, ooh, I don't want to do that again for a while.
We did Reminders of Him with my book club, and I just also, I don't know if I was like exhausted, but I just remember being frustrated with the ending.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I thought that. Should we do a quick little ratings breakdown?
That's what I'm thinking. I was going to probably go through that real quick. Writing style.
2.
I also put it at a 2. Passable. Not passable. It's under par. It's 2.
Yeah. 1 is really cruel, but 2. 2.
Yeah. Not good. Characters?
2.
Yeah. I did a 2.5 because of Josh.
See, I originally put a 1.5. I bumped it to a 2 because after our discussion about that, I did like Josh and Theo. The original characters
sucked.
World building, I gave a 2.5.
I did too. A 2.5.
It's not a complicated world. There wasn't that much new about it. But we saw it. It was there. It was built.
Yep. Plot?
2.
2. Same. We're on the same page. I even put Spice at like 2, like 1.5.
Yeah, this was like really low.
Yeah. It wasn't high at all.
I think it was definitely less than It Ends With Us. I think it was probably because she realized how much of her audience is younger.
Yeah. So it was for sure graphic, but the amount of times it was graphic was real quick. And there was only like one scene in this book, I think. It was minimal.
Mostly contained breast milk.
Ew. Gross. Overall, 2.
2. 1. I said 1.5 to 2. It was not good.
I did 2 because at the end of the day, I think that there were parts of it I enjoyed reading. And that's why I said it was better than I thought. And my expectations was to rank it as 1. And I thought it was better than I expected. So I put it at a 2. Overall, I feel like we have completed our goal that when we say we don't like this book, we've read it. So now we can say it proudly.
Yes.
I am curious if I could talk to her, Colleen Hoover, in a lie detector and ask her why she wrote this. I would be very curious to hear her response because, or was it the publishers that forced her to? I don't know because I'm just kind of like saying, like, if you don't want to write it, if you don't feel like it needs it, don't.
Yeah. I think she realized it's not necessary, but she was getting so many requests for it, which like, I don't really get either because I didn't need it.
Yeah. But, you know, here we are.
Here we are. So there we have it. We don't have anything to say. Do we have anything else to announce? Oh, our February. So let me tell you, our February book, we already announced it in case you missed it, is The Alice Network by Kate Quinn, which comes with an exclusive interview with Kate Quinn herself, which was so, so fun to record and chat with her. She is super cool. That comes out on February 13th. So listen to that, read along.
Definitely listen to that. And you can listen to me get like starstruck and like not be able to talk.
Yeah. Tell them what our next mini-sode is going to be.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay. This is something that we plan on doing that I've been so excited to tell you guys about. And from now on, for the next few mini-sodes, we will be recapping Caitlin and I's, like, one of our most favorite books, one of our just go-to sweet spot nostalgia, I don't know, warm and fuzzies. We're reading The Selection with you guys. Yay. So we're super excited to be reading The Selection. It's by, is it Kiera Cass?
It's Kiera, yeah.
Yeah, we're super excited.
I'm super excited. If you've never read The Selection series, we're taking it one book at a time, so no rush. We're going to do one, and we have a mini-sode a month. So over the next, like, what, 5-6 months? I think there's five. One book at a time. They're super great. I haven't reread them since I read them in college. And I'm very curious to see if they are as good as I remember them being. So,
I know. So I'm hopeful that it stands the test of time. So our mini-sode is kind of going on pause for a little bit. We'll still have, like, so instead of doing one book a month that we vote on and then a mini-sode once a month, instead, we're going to do one book that you guys vote on once a month. And then basically Caitlin and I get to pick the other book for the month, which in this case is The Selection.
Yeah. So we're excited to do that. If we have other things that we would normally include in the mini-sode, you can look out for, like, news and whatnot. You can look out for those on our Instagram stories. Follow us on Instagram, follow us on TikTok. And yeah, tell us your thoughts about It Starts With Us. I would love to hear other people's thoughts. Or It Ends With Us. Whatever you think. If you agree, if you don't agree, we are open to discussion.
I guess you could say it ends with that.
Bye,
guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to continue the discussion, check out our community pages linked in our show notes.
If you love this podcast, leave us a review. We'd love to hear your feedback and thoughts. While you're at it, share this with a friend.
Thanks for listening.